We're continuing our lesson in evangelism. We've gotten through one part of it and fixing to get into a second part to try to understand why it's so important. We've entitled the whole study, A Study in True Evangelism. This is, I guess, the second part of what we'll be entering into. We've entitled it God's Global Goal. In other words, He told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel, the power of the Great Commission. And we read that last week from Matthew. You don't have to turn there, but Matthew at the end of the chapter, in chapter 28. The Great Commission, it says above there in verse 16, as He appears to the disciples, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed to them, or for them. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And then it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So we see those that are doubting. Jesus just addresses that. He said, all authority has been given to me on heaven, in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And so we see when He says He has all authority, He also tells us that He'll be with us. He gives the commission to the 11 disciples at that particular time. And He told them to go. That's one of the commands that He gave. The second thing was make disciples. That is, they were to preach the gospel and God would open up their hearts. They would receive the gospel message and be saved. Baptize them. One of the strongest testimonies that a child of God will ever have is being baptized. We'll get to witness that soon and thank the Lord for that. But it doesn't stop there. And I think probably one of the worst errors of the church today is that they haven't fulfilled the last part of this. After they're baptized, you know, we want to see them come to the Lord to be saved. We want to see them baptized. But then He said, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. We're to continue to disciple the church. As Marlena comes into the church, that's our responsibility to guide her. I'll certainly be involved in that, but each of you have a responsibility to teach her because she's a young and a new convert. And so teaching her the ways of God because it's a new thing. Just like Brother Lamar said in his lesson today, you know, we weren't that one time. Now we're this, and it's brand new. And I'll talk about that in just a little bit, why the Great Commission is not just to preachers, but it's to each and every one of us as we go along. He said the Great Commission is certainly the most important command given to Christians. Some variation of it ends all four Gospels, and Jesus' last earthly words in the book of the Acts are another form of this charge. Despite these repetitions, the radical nature of the command for global evangelism is often overlooked. As far back as Genesis 3, God indicated He was sending a Savior to the world, but God did not allow believers to go throughout the world until with that message until after the crucifixion and resurrection. Understanding the why of the Great Commission helps to unlock its power. So anytime we understand why, it helps us. It gives us more information. Why does this need to be done? Turn, if you will, to 2 Timothy, and we'll look at Paul as he talks to the young preacher Timothy, second letter that's wrote to him, and if you will, to the fourth chapter. And I want to read verses 1 through 5. We'll talk about that just for a little while, touch on a few things there. And we'll see the importance of this. Now remember, Paul is charging this young preacher in 2 Timothy in the fourth chapter, verses 1 through 5. And he's giving him a very heavy charge. Timothy has been called to to preach the word. He's a young preacher, still needing guidance. And so the Apostle Paul wants to make sure that he stays on the straight and narrow. At this particular time, as soon as the church is being birthed, persecution begins. And so he warns them a lot about persecution, but he also warns them about a repeating theme, and that's false doctrine and false teachers. Always through the Word of God, all throughout the New Testament, you're going to see that theme, to beware of those bringing false doctrine. So it's very important that we understand the teachings of the Word of God, that we have them rightly divided, that we hear the truth and not just take it for what we hear, but go home and study the Scriptures when I give you Scripture references, you should go home and study that to see whether I'm right or not. And if I'm not right, I need to call me aside and say, "Brother, I love you, but I don't agree with you here. Let's look at this and sit down and reason together." And so we have an accountability, is what I'm getting at, is, and that's each of us. It's not just for the man of God. In this particular instance, he's charging Timothy, but he could just as well be charging each of you in what he's telling him. So this is what he says. When he says, "Preach the word," he says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ." So we see accountability real quick. It's before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he reminds him what he will do. He will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Second verse says, "Preach the word." Just three short little words there. Preach the word. In other words, Paul is telling Timothy, you might think there's a whole lot to this ministry that God's called you to, but I'm going to simplify it. Preach the word, and that covers all of it. It covers the teaching, the laboring and all, but main thing that he's concerned with as he's giving him this charge at this particular time is that Timothy understands that he needs to preach the word and not the word plus something else. Timothy doesn't need to give his opinion about the word. He needs to preach the word under the power and the demonstration and the authority of the Holy Spirit. And then he tells him some of the conditions that he'll be preaching under. And this applies to preachers today too. Be ready in season and out of season. Now, that doesn't mean whether you feel like preaching or don't feel like preaching. That's not what that means. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. You see, those are some very vivid words there. Convince, rebuke, exhort. But then he mellows it a little bit when he said, with all long suffering and teaching. In other words, you're not going to just beat somebody over the head. You're going to do it with a heart of compassion, just like the Apostle Paul did. He said, for the time will come, and we would wonder why, Paul, why would you give such strong admonitions to this young preacher, Timothy? Because Paul knows the times. He's seen what's going on. Timothy knows what's going on, but he needs to be reminded, just like we all need to be reminded. Like Brother Lamar again was exhorting us this morning, we need to be reminded to seek those things that are above. To seek those things that are above. That's what we're commanded to do. We're to seek the things of God. And a lot of times it gets pushed back when it should be on the forefront. In verse 3 it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. What is doctrine? It's simply teaching. The teaching of the Word of God. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They'll want particular teachers. What kind of teachers do they want? They want ear-scratching teachers. They want to hear what they want to hear, you see. And if I ever get to just preaching what you want to hear, then you need to run me off with a stick or beat me down, whatever you got to do, and get you a preacher to preach the Word. Because you need to know the whole counsel of God. You need to hear all of it. You need to be rebuked. You need to be exhorted. You need to be admonished. You need to be built up. All these things are needful for your Christian lives. You don't need to have an imbalanced diet. God, I pray and that He would guide and direct me into things that need to be preached. I know some of your situations, but I don't know all of your situations. And certainly, if I knew an individual situation, I wouldn't take and preach you in front of everybody. I wouldn't do that. But God's liable to lay that on my heart. I don't know what you need, but God does. In the miracle of preaching the Word of God, if you've been praying, if I've been praying, and God is blessing through the power of the Holy Spirit, you're getting what you need to grow up in the body of Christ. And it takes a little bit of all of it. You know, we love to hear Jesus Christ and Him crucified and how He died for our sins, but we also need to be exhorted to examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. That's a continual process. You ought to be doing that daily to make sure that you're not deceived. Now, we can profess Christ, but we can be deceived also if we're not applying and doing the things of God. That's how we make our calling and election sure, is by examining ourselves. And so it takes all that to do that. So these here, he's warning that some just like to hear what they want to hear and just part of it. I'll just take, you know, kind of like going through a lunch line. So I'll take that and leave that and take that and leave that. That's not the way the gospel is. You take all the gospel or none of the gospel. And that's the way it is. And so he said, the time will come when they will not endure or they won't stand for sound doctrine. This is going to sound familiar. Now, he wrote this back in 67 A.D., somewhere in that neighborhood, I think. And see how familiar this sounds when we read these words. They will not endure sound doctrine. They won't put up with it. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So he's telling them what could happen to some of the people, or what will happen to some of the people if they get their way. And then he admonishes him one more time in verse 5, but you be watchful in all things. In other words, if you were to see some of your congregation begin to stray and you see that, then you be watchful. You be mindful of that. And what do? You be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. He's going to be persecuted because he's going to be watching after their souls. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. It's amazing how that's right there when he says, but you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. If I'm not doing the work of an evangelist, I'm not fulfilling my ministry. If I'm not being watchful in all things, I'm not fulfilling my ministry, according to the Apostle Paul, who's under inspiration of the Holy Spirit and God's Word, and so we know it's true. If I'm not enduring afflictions the right way, anybody can endure afflictions. A lot of times we do it the wrong way. We kick against the pricks, you know. But you endure afflictions the way God has designed it to, patiently enduring them for Christ's sake, understanding the suffering, understanding the afflictions that are coming upon you, are not just because God has allowed them to come, but because God has a purpose behind that, and that's to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ our Lord. So each time we come into some kind of situation that we don't particularly like, understand that it's from the hand of God, it's for your good, and ultimately for His honor and glory. And that's the only reason we're here anyhow, is to bring God honor and glory. And so he gives him this admonition. In the middle of it, he says, preach the word, be instant, in season, and out of season. So let's see what MacArthur has to say about that as he breaks this down. When he says, I charge you, he said the better word is command. The Greek word has the idea of issuing a forceful order or directive. In other words, Paul's not just making a little simple suggestion. Timothy, you know, it'd be a pretty good idea in your ministry if you just preach the word. It's not that at all. He's being very forceful, being very, as Jesus left authority for the 11 to preach, you see that authority on the Apostle Paul as he's giving that admonition and instruction to the young preacher Timothy. You see that in his word when he says, I charge you to do what I'm fixing to tell you to do in these next few verses that we read. There's more after that, but in particular, we'll concentrate on these. So we see the forcefulness of this. We see the extremity, the needfulness of this, that Paul, that Timothy gets his ears perked up, that Paul's getting through, as it were. And if he didn't get through when he said, I charge you, then he got through when he said the next thing. He said, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does that do? That instantly reminds Timothy, I'm accountable for the ministry that God has called me to. You're accountable as a child of God to the ministry that God has called you to. Each of you have some form of ministry. We may not look at it as a gospel ministry or getting in a pulpit and preaching, but you still evangelize and you still have your gifts and you still have what God gives you, and you've come here, so it's in this particular body that it'll function out of. And as we all use our gifts, then the body goes forward in a healthy way. And that brings honor and glory to God. But he reminds him that he is accountable to a higher authority, just in case he mistakes that Paul is that authority. He wants him to understand that I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Timothy knows there's no higher authority than that. And so we see him receiving this, and he says, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And he reminds him that he's coming back again, and that he will judge all men. Our judgment, thank God, was on the cross of Calvary, we that are true believers. And so the final judgment, where the unbelievers will be judged according to the works, as it were, they'll be condemned because of their rejection of Christ. All this that is encompassed in this, he's just reminding him in a mighty way of one word, accountability. You're accountable, Timothy, to do what I'm going to tell you to do. I'm charging you to do this. And what did he tell him? The first thing after he gives him this great big charge, he says, preach the word. The word, not a word, not any kind of gospel, not another gospel. Paul, you know, was warned the Galatians as they were going back under the law, under legalism, under Judaism. He said, don't receive anybody. If I or an angel bring another doctrine or another gospel other than the one that you've already heard, let him be accursed. In other words, Paul said there's only one gospel. You're responsible to understand where that gospel is, what it is, what it encompasses. That's your responsibility as a child of the living God. And so he says, preach the word. And when he talks about preaching the word, MacArthur says, the entire written word of God, his complete revealed truth is contained in the Bible. And that's the Old Testament and the New Testament. We have some people that say, well, you don't need the Old Testament anymore. That was way back then. That's under the law. All you really need is the New Testament. Well, I want you to go, if you were to go to the book of Hebrews and read Hebrews, I want you to try to figure that out without going back to the Old Testament. You'd be in trouble, because it talks a lot about the law and the different things of the law and the sacrifices that were made. And we go back into Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and we see that laid out plainly for us, and so we can see what they're talking about. And so we need the whole Word of God. This is God's inspired Word. The Old and the New Testament alike is the Word of God. We call that the Bible. And then he says, be ready. Always be ready. And it's going to say in season and out of season. What does it mean to be ready? The Greek word has a broad range of meanings, including suddenness or forcefulness. Here, the form of the verb suggests the complementary ideas of urgency, preparedness, and readiness. It was used of a soldier prepared to go into battle, or a guard who was continually alert for any surprise attack, attitudes which are imperative for a faithful preacher, we always must need to be ready, be aware of the enemy, be aware of what's going on in the congregation. And then it gets to this little phrase, in season and out of season. And I know when I first began in the ministry, I heard a preacher say, well, I know what that means. That means you got to preach the word whether you feel like it or not. You missed it a little bit. As a matter of fact, you missed it a lot. In season and out of season, what does that mean? John says, the faithful preacher must proclaim the word when it is popular and or convenient and when it is not. Sometimes you have to preach hard things from the Word of God. Seems to be hard, but because it's God's Word, it's the best for us. But sometimes it's hard for us to either understand or receive. We want to hear things always. We're always ready to hear about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that certainly should be in the message at some point in time, no matter what you're preaching. And how He saved us from our sins. We were on our way to hell. We were bound to go because that's what we wanted to do in our nature, in our fallen nature. We hated God. And so there was no way out of that. We were going to do that unless God intervenes by His amazing grace and turns us around and saves us from the wrath of God that abides upon us. We begin to understand that as He deals with us and the new birth opens up our hearts. We begin to realize what wicked sinners we are. We confess our sins. We have faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we're saved. And we love to hear the message, the old, old story. But then there's other times where we have to talk about particular sins and are we caught up in them, and then go into detail about that. You remember years ago I preached on homosexuality because of a particular instance that had happened in the music world. And where one had professed Christ and yet said that he was more closer now to God than he ever had been and professed to be a homosexual. And that was just in direct contradiction to the Word of God. Has to be addressed. That has to be addressed. Sometimes we talk about church discipline, and that's something that always is a thorny subject, it seems, in the minds of people, unless you understand the principles behind the Word of God. And that's what Paul is preaching to Timothy about, whether it's in season or out of season, whether they're anxious to hear that and really willing to hear it or whether they're not willing to hear it. Timothy, you need to preach the Word because they need to hear the Word. You don't need to just hear part of the Word of God. You need all the Word of God. That's the only way that you can grow up healthy and the way you ought to. So in season, out of season is whether it's something that we love to preach on or something that's kind of hard to preach on. He said, when it seems suitable to do so and when it seems not, the dictates of popular culture, tradition, reputation, acceptance, or esteem in the community or in the church must never alter the true preacher's commitment to proclaim God's Word. Should never sway him. If the whole church said, I don't want to hear that, and I knew that was the truth, it shouldn't sway me. I just preach the Word of God. I don't believe it happened here, but it's happened in the past. And then he says this, convince and rebuke. And here's some negative words. We call them negative words, but they're really positive in our lives. The negative side of preaching the word, reproof and correction. The Greek word for convince refers to correcting behavior or false doctrine by using careful biblical argument to help a person understand the error of his actions. So it's not just a matter of me saying, you're doing wrong, quit it, and slap you on the hand. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to pull you to the side, and I'm going to embarrass you in front of somebody if there's an evident that you're something you're struggling with or that you're caught up in, or maybe it's some false theology that you got hold to and it's leading you down the wrong path. I'm going to take you to the side, and we're going to sit down like a brother or sister or a brother to brother ought to, and we're going to reason in the Scriptures. Isaiah said, come, let us reason together. And we'll look at the Word of God and we'll be convinced by the Word of God. I'm not going to convince you that what you are caught up in is false, true, or not. But the Word of God will certainly do its deal in that. And so that's what convincing and rebuking is. And we need that from time to time. You know, we need that from time to time. The Greek word for rebuke deals more with correcting the person's motives by convicting him of his sin and leading him to repentance. That thing of motives, boy, that's something that we examine. When we say examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith, we need to always look and see, why am I doing what I'm doing? What is the motive of my heart? What's the driving force behind why I come to church? Why I worship God? Why I so love the Lord Jesus Christ? Why I would wait on my brother and sister in Christ? Why I would help someone that's in need? What's the motive of my heart? See, it always needs to be pure, the Bible says. We need to have pure motives. And anything other than that, someone may benefit from it, but you certainly won't glorify God. Because God says, I'm only going to be worshipped in one way. And how's that? In spirit, what? And in truth. And that has to do with the motives of our hearts. We can know the truth of the Word of God, and our motives can be completely wrong. God's not glorified. And we're accountable for handling the Word of God with the wrong motive. So motives of our heart, that's very important in our Christian life. And this is the deepening. It sounded like it didn't say much to him, but this is the depth of what Paul is admonishing the young preacher Timothy. Then he talks about exhorting and teaching, the positive side of preaching, that is the doctrine and instruction. It is teaching and instruction. And then he says, there's some that will not endure. This refers to holding up under adversity and can be translated tolerate. Paul here warns Timothy that in the dangerous seasons of this age, many people would become intolerant of the confrontive, demanding preaching of God's Word. Now listen, if I don't challenge you at some point in time in a message, I'm probably not preaching like I ought to be preaching. See, it ought to be challenging to you. Now, I don't know where you need to be challenged, but in some part of the sermon, or all the sermon, a part of it, it's going to challenge some of us. I was challenged as Brother Lamar was teaching today. He challenged me, you know, get my priorities straight. That's always a constant, isn't it? It's always a constant thing to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Why is that? Because we're so busy in our lives that we have a tendency to forget. That's why we come back to church and get reminded. We get good teaching. We get sound preaching. And that reminds us of who we are. You know, once we understand who we are, that we're God's children, you know, that's an amazing thing. If we could just, as Brother Lamar said, just get our minds around that we're God's children, and everything in the Bible that is connected to that is good and far beyond us. We sing the song, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I don't know if we understand the foretaste part of it yet or not. Brother Lamar used the phrase, the half has not been told. We don't understand. I'm not going to get up to the half. I wish I did understand the half of what's been told. But see, they would go back to that. We go back to that examining and being instructed in the Word of God. And if you're not getting that, you need to be getting that. And so we need to be challenged in the Word of God. The Word of God needs to challenge us with sound doctrine. That is, sound teaching, rightly divided. The Word of God is to be rightly divided. Read one set of Scriptures here, one here. They may sound contradictory. We read another set of Scriptures here, and it just makes it just come together just like that. And another thing is when we're reading the Word of God and there's not some tension in that we're reading between God's sovereignty and our responsibility, then we've missed it somewhere along the way. If we can really explain it, so that's exactly what that means. I'll go on from there. You know, now, there's always that tension. There's always that unexplainable. See, that's the sovereignty of God. It's always that unexplainable. He saves men. And here we are talking about evangelism. And yet it pleased God, he says in Corinthians, by the foolishness of preaching, and he's not really calling preaching foolishness, but in that particular category, he's talking to those men there because they think it's foolish. So he's just kind of reiterating what they think. The gospel certainly not foolishness. But it said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe or to save some. That amazes me that it would use you or me to speak to other people about the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation of their souls, and he would use that and they would be saved. That's amazing to me. It's amazing. And so we're exhorted to do that. And we're exhorted to receive sound doctrine, to believe the truth. Here, some were, he was warning them against those that would reject the truth. They were not going to have it. They wanted their ears tickled. They only wanted to hear what they wanted to hear, those sweet things. But they didn't want to hear nothing else. And he warns them against them. And matter of fact, he said, their own desires and itching ears, he said, professing Christians, and listen to how he says this, professing Christians, nominal believers, that is borderline there, in the church, follow their own desires and flock to preachers who offer them God's blessings apart from his forgiveness. That can't happen. And his salvation apart from their repentance. That can't happen. They want the best of two worlds. In other words, a lot of people want fire insurance. They don't want to go to hell, but they really don't want to serve God. So God really hasn't dealt with them. They don't understand that in the dealing of our hearts, there's a thing called holiness that emerges. And then we're sanctified, that we're set apart from what we were as worldlings. And now we're spiritual beings. We're something else. We're not human anymore, as Brother Lamar said. Well, I'm telling you, when somebody said, well, you know, I'm only human, that just to a preacher, that makes the hair stand up. We're not only human. If we're believers, we're more than that. The Bible says we're more than conquerors in Christ. We're overcomers. We're not the overcome. We're no longer, I'm just human. We've really been made not natural men. That's what we were. We've been made supernatural men and women. Our inheritance is in heaven. We seek those things that are above. We set our affections upon that. And we understand and begin to understand who we are in Christ Jesus. And so he's warning that there are those that want part of the package, but not the whole package. That's what he's saying. That's why it goes back to verse 2 when he says, preach the word. If I preach all the counsel of God, it's going to rightly divide itself. You're going to understand, and understand implicitly because God's ways are far above our ways, but there's enough in the Bible and he's left it enough where we can rightly divide the scriptures and understand what we need to know about salvation, about Christian living, about holiness, about repentance, and all those things that go with being a child of the living God. And he says, warn them against fables. You know, we read these scriptures and it sounds like the world today, doesn't it? You know, it doesn't change. We can take and plug these scriptures into any time period and they'll fit. The same warnings will fit because the same things are going on. Satan hadn't changed his game. He knows that game works pretty good. You know, he said, as it says in Ephesians, carefully devised traps. And so he has orchestrated them and worked on them to where they're fine-tuned enough. He's way smarter than we are apart from Christ. But in Christ, we're way ahead of him if we understand who we are and we have the knowledge of the Word of God and we hear preachers like Paul and Timothy when they're preaching the Word. Preaching the Word, rightly dividing it, helping us to understand it. Do the work of the evangelist, and listen to what he says. Used only two other times in the New Testament, this word always refers to a specific office of ministry for the purpose of preaching the gospel to non-Christians. Christians, that is our witnessing, we would call it, or our evangelism, based on Ephesians 4:11, where it's talking about the body of Christ and the different gifts, it is very basic to assume that all churches would have both pastor, teachers, and evangelists. But the related verb to preach the gospel and the related noun gospel are used throughout the New Testament, not only in relation to evangelists, but listen to this, but also to the call for every Christian. But the call for every Christian, especially preachers and teachers, to proclaim the gospel. Paul did not call Timothy to the office of an evangelist, but to do the work of one. Now, there are people that have the gift of evangelism. That's what they do. They evangelize. And they go from place to place spreading the word. Their sole purpose that God has given them is to preach the message that souls will be brought in. That's what they do. And so, though we may not have that specific gift that way, we have part of that gift, and that's what Paul was saying to Timothy, to do the work of an evangelist. But he doesn't just leave that just to preachers to do, but to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ also. And so we find that to be so. And the reason that we can do that, we talked about last week the confidence that we have in evangelizing. The confidence, and we talked about other things, but confidence especially. And Paul, and John MacArthur says, the solution Paul told Timothy was found in embracing the sufficiency of Scripture. It's very important that you as a Christian believe that this is God's holy, inerrant Word. And He's given it to you. There's no mistakes in it. We may not understand everything in it, but the mistake is in us. If we can't understand it, we just need to study a little bit harder. Just need to dig in a little bit more. There are no errors in the Bible. If you don't have that foundation and you begin trying to do anything in the name of Christ, you're going the wrong way. And how can you have any confidence if you say, well, you know, I believe all the Scriptures, but there's a little part over there, I don't really believe that. And so that would leave the door open to, well, there might be another little part over here, and there might be another here and here and here. And pretty soon, you've got holes all in the Bible that you don't believe. So we either believe it all, or we believe it all, or we don't believe it at all. But we believe the Word of God is the inspired Word of God. Just flip back a page, if you will, in the third chapter. And he says this. He's still admonishing Timothy. I'm going backwards instead of forwards. Not going to read all this, but I am going to read the latter part so that you understand what the Scriptures are for, what the Holy Word is for. In chapter 3, he begins, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Again, this was written in 67 A.D. He's already talking about the last days. Well, I'm going to tell you, the last days have been ever since Christ was crucified and rose again. And we've been living in those last days until that time that Christ comes again. So these are the latter days. Seems like a long time, but that's God's business. That's not my business, your business. Our business is to be saved. You know, it doesn't matter how the ending of this is going to be. What matters is, are you in Christ Jesus? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you come to saving faith in Him and Him alone? Have you laid off trusting your works, trusting your merit, trusting what you can do, and believing that Christ has done it all and that we're saved through His precious blood? That's what really matters. That's what really matters. So he says, know this, in the last days, perilous times will come, for men, let's see if this sounds like anything modern day, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, And from such people turn away. It sounds just like the United States of America today. It sounds just like the world today. Go anywhere in the world and you'll see, just read these descriptions and you'll find it in the world, because that describes the world to the T. That's what they do. He said, but of this sort are those who creep in households and make captives of gullible women. And it goes on to talking about how they deceive people. But listen to verse 10. But you, when he's talking about to Timothy now, Paul talked to Timothy, you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all, what? The Lord delivered me. And I'm going to tell you something. If Paul was delivered out of them all, Timothy would be delivered out of them all. You will be delivered out of them all. See, the same things apply. And he says a familiar verse of Scripture that I say a lot. This is said a little different in this New King James. Yes, and all who will desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I always like the old King James when it says they shall suffer persecution. Shall has a more impactive sound to it. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It seems like this is the major part of what Paul's concern was to teach Timothy. He said, you really have to watch for this. And he really warned him over and over and over again. But you must continue. Listen to what he says. First he says, you have carefully followed my doctrine. Brother, I'd ask you the question, have you carefully followed the doctrines of God? Have you carefully followed what the Word of God says? We're challenged in that area. This is not an option. God has not given us a book of options and said, you know, if you feel like it today, you can serve me. Just read this scripture here and just do it, and then you can serve me like that. It's not like that at all. It's a command. And why can he command us? Because we're hell-deserving creatures, and he, by his grace and mercy, has purchased us, has paid the price with whom? His only begotten Son. That's how much he loved us. He sent him in the world to die for our sins and to purchase us and pardon us from all iniquity. And so we belong to him. Once we were slaves to sin, now who are we slaves to? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so God can command us, and actually can command us whether we belong to him or not, but most especially because we understand we've been purchased with the blood of Christ, he commands us to do these things. And so we see Paul admonishing Timothy again and really exhorting him and lifting him up in a way, because he's saying, you have carefully followed my doctrine. Now, did Paul have a particular doctrine? No, he's talking about his teachings. And what did Paul say about that? He said, you follow me as I follow what? Jesus, right? So he's really saying Jesus' doctrine. In manner of life, notice how I've lived my life. I've lived it in holiness. I've lived it with a purpose. I've lived it faithfully. I've been long-suffering. I've been loving. I'm continuing on. Remember he said I press towards that mark. Even if in the persecutions and afflictions, you know what all happened to me. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Same thing's happening today. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. It's one thing to learn things. You know, I've learned a bunch of things early on that wasn't so. So I had to have them purged out. So he's talking about truth now. Remember, he's saying, preach the word, continue in the doctrine. There's not five or six doctrines out there. There's 5,000 doctrines out there. But they're all wrong except one. See? So Boy, as a Christian, you sure are narrow-minded when you say that. I'm no more narrow-minded than my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, straight is the way. Narrow is the way. And so, there's only one doctrine, there's only one teaching, and that's the truth. And it takes the truth and the Spirit to worship God. As Jesus said, those that worship God must worship Him. Didn't say they might worship Him, said they could have an option of worshiping Him this way. But those that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Who's that fall on? Is He going to just open your head one day and pour what you need in there and clamp it shut? Nope. You've got to get in the Word of God. You know what Ecclesiastes said? He said, much study is a weariness of the flesh. All you people that know that you get to prepare lessons and teach and preach, you know what I'm talking about. We can read a newspaper for 3 hours. I can read a sports page all day long and never yawn. I can get back here in my office and get down into the Word of God in 30 minutes, my eyes are trying to close. Why is that? Because what I'm reading there is life-changing. That other stuff's fluff. What I'm reading here is the most important. It takes preeminence over all other things. It's life-changing. It tells me how I can please my God, and the only way that I can please my God. It'll also not just tell me how I can please Him, but it tells me when I don't please Him and the outfall from that and the outcome from that. And so we read the Word of God. So listen to what He says, and I know I'm taking a while to get to this point, but that's okay too. When we get to this, Paul is talking again to the young preacher Timothy and telling him how important the Holy Scriptures are. And you must get this, especially you younger ones, get it. He said, but you must learn, must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. It's not just enough to learn them. You've got to continue in them. What does it mean? Continue means do those. That becomes your lifestyle, part of your life. It's what dominates your thinking. It's what dominates your decisions. It's what controls you and what you will or won't do. That's what he's saying. But you must continue in the things. You must continue. Persevere. You must do it. Why is he saying that? The emphasis on that. First, he's going to be teaching others, but it also has even to do with his salvation. We must persevere. God says we must persevere. He's going to make sure we do it if we're His. But we can't just depend on something that was said and then not do it and say, well, I'm God's anyhow. It's not the way it works. He said we continue steadfast in our faith. We persevere. We may have doubts, but we overcome those doubts. We may have fears, but we overcome those fears by the Word of God. He said but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood he was blessed. From childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, listen to this, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You're not going to get that salvation through faith in Christ Jesus without the Holy Scriptures. God uses the Word of God. Now listen to what He says. All Scripture, not just part of it, not just the Old Testament, and not just the New Testament, but the Old and the New Testament alike, all Scripture, remember, Paul's not reading out of a Bible here, he's writing a letter. What's he depending on? When he says Scripture, he's remembering the Old Testament Scriptures, and then the inspiration now of this letter where God breathed on it and it came forth. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. If we don't believe that, brethren, we're in trouble. Amen. You've got to believe the Word of God is inspired by God, written by God, overshadowed by God. When we read the words, it's like God is speaking to you. It's the same thing. It's just in a written form. That's how strong we must believe that. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Scripture is profitable. It has a good purpose in mind. It has a good result and an end to it when you read the Scriptures and apply the Scriptures that are under the inspiration of God. What are they profitable for? They're profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Four categories. I'm not going to go into all those, but all four of those, we need those. We need to be taught. We need to be reproved. We need to be corrected from time to time. We need to be instructed in the right way of living. That's instruction in righteousness. That the man of God, or we might even insert the child of God. Here Paul is talking to the preacher, but we could say the child of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We are God's workmanship. He has called us by His mighty grace and called us to preach the Word. He's called us to spread the Word. And so we need to ask ourselves, are we doing what God has called us to do? Are we really taking seriously and understanding as time goes by, and it goes by quickly? You know, I just turned 60 the other day. It just seems like I was 20 just a few seconds ago. Time goes by quickly. The Bible emphasizes that. It says life's but a vapor, James says. So we need to understand the importance of this. And when he's saying do the work of an evangelist or a witness to the world, then are we doing that? Are we finding the occasions? Are we taking the doors that God opens for us? Are we taking full advantage of that? Now, I know sometimes it's like casting a pearl before the swine. I know when you can get in a group of unbelievers and all they want to do is make a mockery of Jesus Christ and Christianity, and there's no inroads there. All they're doing is trying to persecute you and trying to make foolishness out of you. You can't witness to people like that other than to say to them that the judgment of God is going to be upon them for every word that comes out of their mouth. He said every idle word is going to be judged that comes out of our mouths. And sometimes that hushes them up because they you know, don't want to get too far across that line. Or they're all way across it. They don't know that. But then there's other times, isn't it, that we know that God has opened a door. Someone's hurting. Or maybe they've lost a family member. Maybe they're sick. Maybe something's not going right that day. Whatever it is, they kind of open up to you, and there you have the blessed opportunity to share with them what the Word of God says. Well, you know, I don't know all the answers to that, but the Word of God says this about your situation, and this is what God has done with His people in times past. And perhaps that would lead to the place of, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? God help us. There's so much more we can talk about, but God help us to understand this and the importance of preaching the Word, of spreading the Word, of living lives as Paul admonished Timothy. He said, you've studied it, you've followed me in my doctrines, my way of life, my manner of living, my love. In other words, Timothy has patterned himself after a model of Paul. And that was a good thing in this sense, that Paul was following Christ, you see. So he had a godly example. Watch for your peers. Who gives you influence? Are they godly people or are they ungodly people? We have to watch that. God help us to understand that is my prayer for Christ's sake.